All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at Job chapter 5, and then we're going to be looking at a couple of verses in Proverbs. We're going to be looking at a lot of Bible this morning. If you're not sure where Job is, it's in the Old Testament. Hopefully there's someone near you. I know towards the back we have what we call pew Bibles. In the front of it would be a reference guide, and you'd see a book called, you would look at it and probably say it's Job. All right, and so you'd steer clear away from that book. All right, because you're like, I ain't learning nothing about my job. All right, but that's Job. All right, Job, J-O-B. We're going to be looking at Job and then a couple of verses in Proverbs as we consider a topic this morning. Remember last Sunday morning, we looked at the enemies and we considered five enemies of gratitude or of a grateful heart. And as I was studying this week, actually we could make this a sixth. A sixth enemy of a grateful heart. And you'll understand where I'm going when we look at some of these verses. The Bible lists some verses out, and I think it's important for us to consider these things because the Bible spends time on it. And if the Bible is spending time on it, then we should consider it to be important. If I made a list of crimes that are committed in our society, you might consider this a very odd list. If I put at the list, I said, murder, and everybody would be like, yeah. Grand theft, yeah. Larceny, yeah. Rape, jaywalking. Like, all right, I'm thinking you're having a problem. And then I, drug trafficking, and I'm up here and I'm just laying it out. And then I say, driving with your blinker off or out. Be like, I think you got issues. Because you'd say, well, wait a minute. I mean, you're comparing murder and drug trafficking with jaywalking? Well, what you're going to see is I think the topic we're talking about this morning falls into that line of thinking as Christians. All right, so Job chapter 5 and verse we'll start in verse 1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? And notice verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. And then we turn to Proverbs. So I said we were in Job, so you go a couple of chapters later to the book of Proverbs, and two verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Go down to verse 30. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. So we're there in Proverbs 14. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And look at verse number 4. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before, notice the word, envy? I think envy is one of those things that we relegate to kind of a sin that might not be so bad. Most of us in this day and age would consider this word also jealousy. Now, if you do a study of the word jealous in the Bible, and we'll do that in just a couple of minutes, jealous is not normally used in a bad connotation in the Bible. We have taken it in our definition. You know how kind of words change or definitions? We've kind of combined jealousy and envy to where jealousy and envy, there's a meaning, and I'll explain it in our definition today. But most of the biblical idea of jealousy, as far as what we think of it as today, jealousy is envy. And you will never see envy in any good light in the Bible. This morning, I want to consider the evil of envy or jealousy's noose. And I think as I was studying it, there are roots of envy, I think, in our hearts as Christians. And they play out in dangerous ways in our life. There's not anything good that envy can do in your heart. In fact, as I thought it was appropriate, as I was thinking about this, because some, even this morning, a little seed of envy could have come into your heart and you'd say, how come he can play like that? How come she, you know what, I bet you that was just a privilege. That's envy right there. And it is evil. It's wrong. Some of you sitting here, you might be single and you're older and you're single and somebody gets up and they're praising God on our Thanksgiving breakfast and they say, man, you know, I'm so thankful for my wife or I'm so thankful for my husband. And that evil envy comes up and you say, how come they get that? You're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. It's evil. And that's why it's an enemy of gratitude, because instead of saying, God, from whom all blessings flow, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done. I don't deserve anything and you gave me salvation. But instead we look around and say, how come they get that? God doesn't care about me. And Satan from the beginning of time had that evil heart of envy, didn't he? Because what did he do? How come they're praising God? In fact, most believe in theology that Satan, Lucifer, one of his jobs, he was a created cherub, and his job was to bring people and bring the angelic host together and bring praise to God. But he said, how come God gets all the praise? Envy. And if we're not careful, we will have the evil of envy, jealousy's noose, come around our neck or sink deep into our heart. It'll choke us. It'll ruin us. And you'll never appreciate any of God's blessings. It's an enemy of gratitude. God help us to avoid the evil of envy. Heavenly Father, as we come to Scripture this morning, calm our hearts. Lord, bind Satan and his demons and keep them away from us. Help us to ponder Scripture this morning. Make it clear so that, Lord, you can do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Envy. There's a story of a little snail. Probably a true story. Maybe not. The biographer that was sitting down with the snail wrote this. But there was a little snail that lived by the ocean, and he noticed with envy the big, beautiful shell of the lobster that was near him. What a grand palace, the snail thought, of that lobster, the lobster's shell. And man, look at that place he gets to live. He carries that upon his back. If I could only live in such a palace like that. The little snail said, oh, wouldn't my friends be so impressed with me if I lived in a place like that? So in time, a wonderful thing occurred. The envious snail watched that lobster, and the lobster walked right out of his shell. Walked right out of it. Left it sitting there, open. The empty lobster shell lay neglected on the beach, and the snail looked at it and said, nah, look it, my wish has come true. And so with pain and with much hardship, the snail separated itself from its own little tiny, weaselly little shell. And it crawled ever so slowly over to the lobster shell. The big birds and the animals watched the snail as he pulled himself loose, crawled over. And then once the little snail was inside the lobster shell, he huffed and he puffed. But he was really cold. It was freezing all around him. And so he huffed and he puffed. He tried to hold his breath, all right, to try to get bigger. But the snail, no matter what he could do, could not fit inside of the shell. And eventually, that night, the snail froze to death. A wise old crow was sitting nearby, and said to its younger little little children, you see, that's what comes of envy. What you have is never enough. Be yourself and save yourself from a lot of trouble. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. Be yourself and save yourself from a lot of trouble. How much better to be a little snail in a comfortable shell than to be a little snail in a big shell and freeze to death? What's my point this morning as we start out? Why can't you be satisfied with what God has given you? Why can't you appreciate what God has given you? And if somebody has been given something by God, then why can't you be grateful for God giving them something? I ask you then this morning, are you envious or jealous? First of all, let's look at envy and jealousy and define it. What is envy? Envy is to feel an uneasiness or a discontent at the sight of superior excellence. I can tell you this, as Seth got up to play a saxophone, only in my dreams would I play like that. And even in my dreams, it's very wobbly. I'm telling you, it can only be, I mean, sometimes in my nightmare, I am playing right there, but you guys are all on the ground laughing, all right? Because you're like, oh my word, I can't believe he is foolish enough to get up and like, all right? A kazoo would be my talent right there. I could get up and man, I could throw down the kazoo. But guess what? Envy comes into our heart and what it says is, wow, you're discontented because somebody else maybe, you know, guess what? Seth probably has spent tens of thousands of hours practicing. God be praised. And why can't we rejoice in that? Why can't we be happy with somebody else's? So envy is being discontented at the sight of superior excellence. It can be discontented at somebody else's reputation or happiness enjoyed by another. Even prosperity, to grudge. And then there's another word that is associated with envy, and that is malice or maliciousness. Remember I said that there's a list in our minds that we put together? Well, let me give you a list found in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says this in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. So what is it saying? What's the works of the flesh? That is this right here. It is not my glorified body, but it's this sinful nature. So what is the works of this sinful nature? Now you're going to like it. All right, as far as at the start, you're going to say, oh yeah, adultery. Yep, I agree with that. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which lasciviousness is basically another aspect of immoralness. A lot believe as far as lasciviousness, there's an idea of pornography that's tied in with lasciviousness. So it's wickedness, it's evilness, it's immoral thoughts, it's immoral viewing. And we'd say, oh yeah, amen to that. That's a work of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. But guess what the next one is? Envyings. Oh, and guess what's right after that? Murders? Wait a minute. Come on, God. That sounds like jaywalking and murder in the same list. No, God put this in the list because what he's saying is for you and I, we like to have separation in our sins. And we say, well, that one's really bad and this one. You know, this is just my little pet. And what God's saying is murder and adultery and fornications and you that envy. That's what he's saying. Be careful at having your little comfortable sins. That you say, well, this isn't as bad. Well, just so you know, envy, biblically, put Jesus on the cross. You say, whoa. Oh, yeah. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. You say, no, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. So here is Jesus coming at the end of his time here on earth, and they take him, they bring him before Pilate. And in chapter 27 and verse 15, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Notice what our scriptures say to us. For he knew, that is Pilate, he knew that for, what's the word? Envy. They had delivered him. Oh, you need to be careful of envy in your life. Envy will take you down a dangerous path. It'll take you down a horrible road, and it'll make you do things that you will regret. Envy. All through scripture we see envy. We see it at the beginning of time with Lucifer. We see it also, here's another one. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. All right, so we see it, envy, at the beginning of time with Lucifer, with Satan. We see it a little bit later portrayed with Cain and Abel. Envy is there. But then in Acts chapter 7, a sermon that is recorded for us by Stephen, the martyr. Notice what it says in verse 8 in chapter 7. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Notice verse 9. And the patriarchs, who is the patriarchs? Does anybody know who they are? That's Joseph's brothers. All right. So here you have all these. You got Reuben and Levi and all these, Gad and Dan and all these guys, Naphtali. So here are the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. You know, some of us are like, oh, envy is not that bad. Oh, yeah, it is. All through scripture. It basically brought a man that was a created being that was created to bring praise to God to throw everything out. And for eternity, and praise the Lord, he's going to be there. He's going to be burning in the lake of fire, in a bottomless pit in the lake of fire. That's where Satan's going to end up. And if you want to follow his trail, that's where, even as a Christian, you follow that evil heart of envy, it's not going to be a good road for you. It's not going to do you any good. Envy and jealousy. So you see in the Bible that there is a decent amount in the Bible about envy. It says, remember in Job, "And envy slayeth the silly one." Proverbs 14, we read this one. Who can stand? Who is able? Or Proverbs 27. Who is able to stand before envy? And Proverbs 14:30. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. What is the Bible telling us about envy? Envy can come into our heart and we can justify it because we can say, well, you know what? That's not as bad as murder. But in Galatians, you'll also find it in Ephesians. You'll also find it listed in Corinthians in a list of horrible, horrible sins. And yet many of us are like, well, it's okay for me to think evil of that. It's just in my heart. Yeah. Get rid of the evil of envy in your heart. Because what it will do, it'll never make you grateful for what God has done for you. Read a story, because many of us see this in our society, and I think that's what's hard. You know, because there's something built into Americans that we have to succeed and we've got to be the best and I got to be number one. I mean, our church has to be number one. In fact, in Google, I got to be number one. I want 5 stars. I don't want 4.5. All right, that's us though, isn't it? Like, what in the world? What's up with you? You know, I'm going to find that guy who gave me 1 star. I'm going to track him down. I mean, we're like, whoa, man. right? The way you're talking, I'm giving you none. All right? I mean, we just are so engrossed in being number one. It's just in us. So there was a guy, he went to college, and he was a young student at Stanford University, and he got caught up in this. He got caught up in being number one, and while he was given opportunity while he was at Stanford to go to the Far East. And while there, he came upon a group of Buddhists. And the group encouraged him to change. They said he was ambitious and that his ambitious lifestyle would be the ruin of him. They told him that he studied hard, but not to learn, but only to get better grades than his friends. He worked very hard, but not to better society, but just to purchase more than his peers. He dated the most beautiful ladies, but not to find true love, but to be seen with the most admired woman. So the young man came to grips and realized that, you know what, I need a change of lifestyle. And so he called his parents from Tokyo, and he told his parents, he said, you know what, I'm dropping out of school, and I'm joining a monastery. 6 months went by, and 6 months later, Mom and Dad got a letter and said, Dear Dad and Mom, I know you weren't happy with my decision to stay here, but I wanted to tell you how happy I am with my decision to stay here. I'm at peace. And music, I think, started playing as they were reading the letter. I'm at peace for the first time in my life, living in an environment without competition or envy. Here we all share and life is equal. This way of life is so much in harmony with the inner essence of my soul that in 6 months, I've become the number two disciple in the monastery. And I think I'll become number one by June. Now, guess what was still there? This idea, I've got to be better than everybody else. Nobody else can out-succeed me. And we're never satisfied or content. We're never grateful for what God has given us. It's the enemy that's there, the enemy of envy. According to the Bible, if you're there in Proverbs, or maybe you turned away from it, go back to the book of Proverbs, and I want to share just a couple of thoughts, and then I want to give you some remedies. I have a lot of notes here, and someday we'll get to the rest of it. But for the sake of your ears and your heart, we will let you go earlier than having to endure all of this. So in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible tells us and warns us of something, and I think this happens often. In fact, this happened to David, and we'll turn to that in just a moment. But look at Proverbs chapter 3. Notice what the wisest man in talking to his son tells him. Verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. All right, go to then Proverbs 23. So we're there in Proverbs 3. Go to chapter 23 and notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart do what? Envy who? Sinners. Okay, notice chapter 24 and verse 1. Be not thou what? Envious of who? Evil men. Notice in verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou what? Envious at the wicked. The Bible tells us, and this is, if you want to jot down a couple of things, because David had a problem with this. David in Psalm 37 and in Psalm 73 had a problem with this. In fact, David writes this psalm and he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. A psalm that we know is Psalm 73, and it says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what a problem that we have as Christians? You choose to do what's right. You're here at church on Sunday morning, and I applaud you for that. Or we say amen. Okay, we're not applauding here. All right, we're saying amen to that. All right, I think that's a great thing to come to church. But we've given up, and some of you inside, and this is what the devil will do. He sows seeds of envy and discontent, and it's not always with us sitting here. It's outside to the wicked. It's outside to those that don't care about God. It's outside to those that on this Sunday morning, they are gone and they're flying their private jets and they don't care at all about God. And it seems like, God, wait a minute, I have given everything for you and I get nothing. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Because that's devilish. And he's getting into our heart. And he's making us look outside. And I'm envious at the wicked. Over and over you see this in the Bible. Psalm 37, Psalm 7:3. There we've got it in Proverbs 3, Proverbs 23, Proverbs 24. And what is it saying? Hey, I've given everything. Be careful of that. Because really, have I given everything? No, Christ gave it all for me. And he really did, and I need to spin it back and say, all right, God, so what do I deserve? What do you deserve? What do I deserve? I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. And this morning, you may have come in, and you say, hey, I chose to go to church. But just so you know, going to church is a good thing, but going to church isn't going to get you to heaven. All of us deserve hell. I'm a sinner. I'm glad that 40 years ago, going to church, I realized that I was a sinner. I deserved hell, and there was nothing good in me. And so I came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid my debt. So since that time, 40 years ago, when I trusted in Jesus Christ, I no longer have to look forward to hell. I get to look forward to heaven for eternity. Man, praise the Lord. And that's the perspective we need to have. Jesus, why should I be envious at the wicked? Maybe here on this earth, they have it all. But in Psalm 73, the Bible says, but I went to the sanctuary. And not until then, but until I went to the sanctuary, then all of a sudden, God opened it up and said, hey, they're living the life down here. All right, as we say and we joke, you know, it's a phrase in America, I'm living the dream. They might be living it up, but their eternity is doomed. They may have it all. And think about historically. Historically, does vengeance come? Oh, yeah. Remember, there was a guy way back 2,000 years ago, maybe you don't know this, during just after the time of Christ, most believe that the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, was killed by an emperor called Nero. But you know what? Read up on Nero. He had it all. He was emperor of Rome. There was nothing that he wanted. He could have anything. But guess what? I wouldn't want his life. Nero? No way. But would I want the Apostle Paul's life? Oh, you bet. All right, what about Hitler? What about Hitler? All right, we go back to that. We go back just a little bit ago to this time of Hitler, and you say, well, man, it seemed like he had it all. Did it? It did seem like it, didn't it? But even by the end of his life, is that what you want? No. I don't want to exchange my life for his. No, because you see, in time, God does have vengeance on those people. It may not come and you're, God doesn't, I'm sorry, but God doesn't come down and sit and have counsel with you and I. God's just wondering, maybe during the time of Hitler, God's up there like, oh my word, who created him? Oh my word, what is going on? He's like, you know what, I need a group of preachers. So he's like, hey, I'm going to have a council. So a bunch of us get together and we're sitting there and God comes down. He's like, all right, guys, I made a huge mistake. I mean, oh, this guy is bad. We're like, well, we understand God. Everybody makes mistakes. That's ridiculous, isn't it? You don't think that God knew and he knows? Yes, he does. God is in control. And he doesn't force his will on people. But guess what? In time, this is what I know. Hitler today is in hell. Why? Because as far as we know, he never repented. He never turned to Jesus Christ. Now, if he would turn to Jesus Christ, he could have heaven. But he didn't want that. He wanted his own way. He wanted his own kingdom. And guess what? And God, and his righteous way. And this is what you and I have to understand too. God also is merciful. And in his mercy, we may not compare ourselves to Nero. We may not compare ourselves to Hitler or Stalin or some evil, wicked person. But you also put Christ on the cross. Your sin did that. And you want to act like you're so good. And you want to act like you're so righteous. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin did. And so I don't deserve anything good. Envy. Envy, the book of Proverbs, Psalms, deals with our hearts and says, be careful. So let me give you just a couple of things that can help us overcome envy. Go to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we were reading a passage that dealt with the works of the flesh. And again, I'm going to close it down here in just a few minutes. Try to help us out as far as understanding this idea. There's a lot more that we can say about envy. The Bible has a lot to say about it. But here in Galatians chapter 5, we were reading in 19, now the works of the flesh, okay? So back up a little bit and start in verse 16, and it's telling us as believers, this is how, as believers, we can overcome this evil heart of envy. How? This I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We find there in that verse that we walk in the Spirit. The Bible also tells us, look earlier in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Here in the Bible, it's telling us some things to do. It's telling us that I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to crucify my flesh. Then the Bible also tells me in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read this verse, the Bible says that we should put on the new man. Put on the new man. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I need to mortify this flesh. Okay? I need to crucify this flesh. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to put on the new man. I need to renew my mind. And guess how often I have to do that? Every day. And so you know why evil is in your heart? Because a lot of us, last 2 weeks ago, when we had envy towards our neighbor or we had envy towards another brother in Christ, we dealt with it and said, man, there's something wrong I got to do with every day. I got to crucify this old man. Every day I put off the old man. I put on the new man. I renew my mind. And how do I renew my mind? By getting in God's word and studying God's word and letting the word of God take a hold of me and change me. And when that happens, then that evil heart of envy can be put to flight. I think many of us sitting here, you've sat here, and you said, just like, let's go all the way through it. A teenager sitting here, how come they get that home? It's envy. A young person sitting here, maybe you're middle-aged and you're still single, and you're saying, how come they get a mate or a spouse and I don't? It's envy. It could be someone older and you say, how come they never have a problem in their home and with their family, and I get it all? It's envy. It could be even in churches. You know what I have? Even with churches, I see it all the time. How come they get people to go to their church? It's envy. It's evil. It's wrong. How come they get to travel? How come they get to do this? How come they get this? Instead, crucify the flesh. Put on the new man. Instead, let's go to God and say, renew my mind. And you know what will happen? It'll overflow you with God's goodness. Oh, God, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't even deserve your salvation. And even this evening, we're going to be looking at it in Psalm 107. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Man, if you get a heart of praise and you get a heart of looking to the God of all gods, you know what will happen? Your heart will just bubble over with joy and gratitude for what he's done. Read a story, and I thought this would be good as we close. There's a man, and I think some in this congregation would know him. His name, you might not know his name. His name was Henry Varley. Henry Varley is known for a phrase that he said to the evangelist D.L. Moody. This is what Henry Varley said. He was a pastor, and he was an evangelist. This is what he said. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully committed to God. That statement challenged Moody from a pastor. A pastor came to Moody, and Henry Varley came to him and said, hey, it would amaze us. God has yet to see. And it challenged D.L. Moody. Now, what's not so well known about Henry Varley is that he was an evangelist. He was a pastor himself. A biographer went and they did the life of Henry Varley, this pastor. And the biographer, in interviewing Pastor Varley revealed to him some of the things that occurred in his heart as a pastor. He said he became very envious of a pastor in his area. This other pastor began gaining some of Varley's members, and there was an envy that welled up in his soul. And Pastor Varley wrote this in his own words. He said, I shall never forget the sense of guilt and sin that possessed me over that business. I was miserable. Was I practically saying to the Lord, unless the prosperity of thy church and thy people come to my church and my neighborhood, then it doesn't count. Think about what he was saying as he analyzed his heart. God's prosperity has to be to me and me alone. If you bless anybody else, I'm not happy. What does that sound like? A 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and yet some of us acted that way this week. And he said, was I showing an inability to rejoice in another worker's service? He said, I felt it was a sin of the most hateful character. I asked the Lord to resolve this in my heart before I went to heaven, and by his grace give me victory over this foul enemy of envy. I ask you, do you have this evil heart of envy? It turns God's goodness into a lack of contentment. It turns God's wonders and his blessings into something that we disdain. And you know what happens? God's hand of blessing starts moving from our lives. I ask you then this morning, do you have an evil heart of envy? The Bible says, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. And some of us, we've experienced wrath and anger. But who can stand before envy? You know what it is? It's like rottenness of the bones. Some of you, your envious heart, you're looking out at everybody else instead of looking to the person from whom all blessings flow. Oh, may God help us to mortify and crucify this evil sin of envy. And may God change it into a heart that's grateful.